Blog Talk Radio.
Connor, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. That was quite the intro music there.
Well, you know what? I figured you're going to be wreaking havoc for a lot of teams in the NFL once you get drafted next month. So I figured we'll give you one of those little entrances where you feel that, hey, I'm already making an impact here in the NFL.
I liked it, man. It got me excited for this interview. It got me pumped up.
Well, Connor, you got me pumped up, and we spoke at the Combine, and I have come away with nothing but being fully impressed by the way you present yourself, your talent level, your versatility. The first thing I wanted to ask you when I was thinking about a bunch of things this morning was, how are your NCAA brackets looking? Because mine are completely torched.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't fill out a bracket, but I can tell you I had Oklahoma winning the whole thing. I didn't have Michigan State going to the Final Four. I didn't have Villanova. I didn't think Villanova would go to the Final Four. But I'm excited about the Final Four just because I'm a Michigan guy, so it's good to see State in there. And it's fun seeing Villanova because I remember playing against those guys like Dante Cunningham and Shane Clark. And really, my freshman and sophomore year, they were a lot like me coming off the bench and just trying to hustle and make plays. So it's fun to kind of watch those guys because I remember playing against them.
You know, and that's something I was going to try and trap you on, but you got me. Being a Michigan guy, you didn't put Michigan State in your bracket, huh?
No, I didn't think they were a Final Four team this year, but, you know, Coach Izzo is a great coach, obviously. I think this is his fourth or fifth Final Four in 10 years or something like that, or 11 years. So maybe I should have looked at them a little bit closer.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, wow, now that I see how good Michigan State is, how can I not have them in my bracket?
Exactly.
Well, Connor, I know you're quite the basketball player, but let's talk a little bit of football right now because you had, in my opinion, an incredible career at the University of Cincinnati. And when we spoke at the Combine, first off, how was that experience at the Combine? What was the experience like for you?
It was good. It was good. I had a lot of fun. It was just kind of a lot like the Senior Bowl, getting to go somewhere and kind of measure yourself up against the competition, you know, supposedly the best guys in the country. So I enjoyed that part of it the most. It was kind of a grind a little bit, the 4 days. You know, it's a really hurry up and slow down process. They just get you places and then you sit and wait. So it's 4 days that are, you know, sun up to sundown. But, you know, I think I stayed focused and I was prepared for the fourth day, the most important day, and I was able to put my best foot forward.
And how about that medical testing where they poke you and they prod you and they pull at every single limb you have? What was that like?
It was interesting. You know, it was easier for me, honestly, than a lot of other guys because I haven't had that many injuries in college, so I got through it pretty quickly. But the interesting part was just going from, like, the six different rooms with six different doctors from six different teams, and they all kind of want to look at you and kind of bend you each their own way. So it's kind of funny. The only bad part about that is, you know, when you have some problems, they send you for MRIs, and you don't want to get in the MRI line. That's when it gets really hard for people, and I fortunately didn't have to do any of those.
Well, that's good, too, and you know what's funny, Connor? A lot of people ask me about it and the reasons they go about it and why you sit in there for so long and why all the MRIs and all the testing, and what I tell people is that NFL teams, whether you're a first-round pick, second, third, they're investing a lot of money. I mean, you're talking millions of dollars, and they want to make sure that you're healthy and you're on the field and you're playing the game you love and you're contributing on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, it is. They're making a big investment in you, obviously, and they're investing in really, first thing, your body, what you can physically do. And if you're hurt or have a tendency to get hurt, then, you know, that's going to be a red flag for a lot of teams. And also something I didn't realize, and a lot of people forget, is the Combine really started for the medical reasons. That's what it was really first all about and why it was used. Now everybody just talks about the fourth day. But, you know, when the Combine started, it was just for the medical purpose.
Yeah, and it's just funny that, you know, you go through that much, but when you go through all of it, it's basically that one purpose is, like you said, the investment and all the money they're going to be giving players up front.
Yeah, exactly. So they want to make sure they're getting healthy, you know, healthy players.
Now, I wanted to ask you, you go into a meeting, you meet with all these different teams, okay? And coming, being here in Miami, I've told some guys, you know, you can walk into a room, and in one room, you can see all the powerful people. You see the president, the general manager, the head coach, the coordinator, the position coach, and the two biggest scouts. And some people, you know, get a little nervous. They don't know how to react to it. Now, you don't have to tell me what team or anything like that. What is the strangest question you receive from an NFL team? Certain players have told me, guys have asked them, would you rather be a cat or a dog? Or when was the last time you did drugs? They try to corner you to get you to think quickly. What was the strangest question you got from an NFL team?
You know, honestly, I didn't really get any real off-the-wall questions. I mean, the only kind of story that I have that kind of was interesting was with the San Francisco 49ers. I wouldn't, you know, all the rooms, you either flip on the tape and talk through that or sit around and different personnel or scout or coaches will ask questions here and there. You know, nothing too really out of this world for me. But the one thing that was interesting with the 49ers is they kind of had everybody in the room. And then they had a woman in the room that I sat directly across from, who I imagine had to be a doctor of some sort. And really, the full 15 minutes, it was just me and her. Just she was shooting questions right back at me, really just personality questions. So there wasn't really any crazy questions, but it was just funny to see, you know, all these males in the room just observing, and then just me and this female talking the whole time.
I never heard that one. That is a little weird, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, weird is the right word, but it was different. It was different than all the other ones, so it was kind of interesting.
So basically it was more of like a psychological evaluation. They're kind of just watching and evaluating you based on your discussions with her.
Yeah, I imagine that's had to be the purpose.
Wow. That is a new one. I'm going to have to use that one. You're the first one to tell me that one, so that's something that we're definitely going to have to run with, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine I did it for everybody that the 49ers interviewed there, so a lot of other guys had to go through the same thing.
Well, that's very interesting, and when you're in this meeting with the 49ers, you know, Connor, a lot of players have told me, and I've spoken to certain scouts around the NFL, and one thing they like to do with players is they like to do what I call a chalk talk. Basically, they'll bring you in the room, and you'll have a few of the coaches there, and they'll break out some of your film. And they'll break out not your good plays, but maybe a play or two that you made a mistake on, or you didn't have the right coverage, or you did something wrong on that play. And they'll expect you to say, what happened on this play? And they'll expect you to say, you know, I made a mistake here or there. Did you get anything like that in meetings with teams where they brought out some of the plays that maybe you didn't do very well and what you did wrong and how you would correct it?
Yeah. Every team that I had the flip on the tape with, it was usually a combination of good and bad plays. When you corrected yourself in the bad plays, you just had to kind of emphasize the coaching points, what you could have done better. And the one thing that I knew not to do that people had warned me was don't say that you fixed it. Like, don't, if it was a play from the beginning of the year, don't say, yeah, I was doing that early on, but I fixed it, because then they'll flip it on the last game of the season and say, well, I thought you fixed it. So I made sure I never did that. I just, you know, made sure I was honest about it and, you know, said what I thought I could have done better.
And you know what? And that's something that, as long as you're honest, that's what these teams look for. And you know, Connor, all these teams know that you guys can play football. If you couldn't play football, you wouldn't be there. But they're looking for guys that demonstrate great character, guys that are honest. And those are the kind of players they look for on their football team. And as long as you're honest and you have a strong work ethic, they look at character very much so. They look at a character more than a lot of people even realize. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of, going into this whole process, I honestly, you know, you hear about all the character stuff, and I kind of thought, you know, that's got to be a little bit overrated. You know, it's the bottom line is what you can do on the football field. But honestly, after going to the Senior Bowl and going to the combine, the disparity in talent is so slim that they have to use some other things to kind of, you know, decide who they're going to pick, and character is definitely one of those things that I think comes into becomes an important thing when they try to divide players up and say who's better and who's not.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, Connor, and joining us on the All Access Football Network Sports Line is Connor Barwin, the defensive end, outside linebacker for the Cincinnati Bearcats. Connor, I know you're the all-around athlete. You have a love for basketball, play football. Now, a lot of teams are transitioning 4-3 defense, 3-4, and I know your versatility is among something we've never seen. You can play tight end. You played special teams. Some teams are saying, hey, you're going to be a hybrid rushing outside linebacker in 3-4. You can play defensive end in that 4-3. And especially now, you look at teams like last year, the Miami Dolphins really implemented that wildcat offense, you know, where you see a lot of teams will take defensive players and put them on the line of scrimmage as a tight end in goal line situations. What position do you ideally want to play, and what have most teams projected you to play at the next level?
You know, that's the big question that everybody's asking me. And, you know, I was just visiting the Patriots, and I think they really were trying to figure out, you know, does this kid have a love for offense or a love for defense? And I really don't. It doesn't matter to me. I tell them, like I tell everybody, I want to play in the best situation. If you think I can contribute more on offense being a tight end on your team, then that's definitely the position I want to play. If you think I can be the best player I can for your team playing outside the linebacker, then that's the position I want to play. I don't know what position I'll be the best in the NFL, and I think it'll change with whatever team drafts me and what situation I fit better into. But either way, you know, I think teams are intrigued of my versatility that you touched upon, and teams really think there hasn't been a guy that legitimately can say they came into the draft and, you know, was pretty good at two different positions, one on offense and one on defense. So I think teams are really getting excited about that.
And Connor, what do you think are some of your biggest strengths?
Well, I think versatility, obviously. I think playing, having experience both on offense and defense allows me to be better at both sides. I think playing offense for 3 years before moving to defense, you know, helped me a lot in making that 1 year transition, because I know exactly what those tight ends and those tackles are trying to do to defensive ends, and vice versa. When I go back and play tight end like I did at the Senior Bowl, I knew a lot more than I ever did playing tight end for 3 years, because I went and played defense, and now I know what a defensive end has to worry about when they've got a tight end over them as well as a tackle. So I think that's one of my biggest strengths, is being able to say I played on both sides of the ball. I think my work ethic, and I think really the way I play is consistent. I kind of play at the same speed all the time and, you know, make sure I keep myself in shape.
And, Connor, just to give you a little bit of advice, I know we have a lot of people listening right now. Defensive ends, outside linebackers make a lot more money than tight ends.
Yeah, they do. They do make more money, but they don't last as long. They get replaced a lot quicker than tight ends do. So I know my buddy Brent Celek is a tight end for the Eagles now. I played behind him my first 2 years, and he quickly points that out to me every time I talk to him. But it doesn't matter, you know, which one I get picked, and I just want to be – you know, whatever one I can do better at, as I said before.
Well, Connor, you're definitely going to make a difference on a NFL squad. And the last thing I wanted to ask you is, and this is something that I don't like in particular, you see all these mock drafts, and these frustrate me more than anybody, because they get so into it back in January, before your season even ends. You're still playing in the Orange Bowl in January. There's no free agency. There's nothing going on yet, and you constantly see these mock drafts happening over and over. You haven't met with teams yet at this point. What are your thoughts on these mock drafts? I mean, when you look at a mock draft and they have you projected at this spot, does it bother you, or do you kind of just laugh it off and move on?
No, it's really, you know, just entertainment. It's just fun. A lot of people do it just for that purpose. They do it for fun. They want to guess, see if they can get as close as they can. So you can't take it seriously, because any of these guys doing it, from a guy with his own website to, you know, Mel Kiper, they don't have any accountability like the NFL guys do when they have to make picks. You know what I mean? So they can pick anybody, you know, do anything they want, and it doesn't matter what happens. So, you know, it's fun for me to look at it and, you know, see how they think things are going to pan out. And obviously most of the guys that are doing it are just doing it for fun. So it doesn't bother me at all.
No, and, you know, it just frustrates me being a media member, because I'm not one of those guys that gets into them. And it's just frustrating for me, because I don't like reading into them. I don't like them. And, you know, they get so far ahead, and, you know, you see 20, 21, 22-year-old kids looking at that. You don't want anybody to get discouraged. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, but I think that's up to, you know, a player's, the people around him, to make sure they can't buy into, you know, a mock draft that has them going high, or get discouraged by another one that has them, you know, going low. So, know, that's about somebody's agent or their parents telling them, you know, you can't believe in those different things, and you know, it's really about the teams. And you know, I knew from the beginning that the NFL teams aren't sharing with the media what they really think about players, because the whole process about getting the best player you can as late as possible.
Yep. And folks, again, Connor Barwin, the defensive end, outside linebacker, tight end. Connor, I'm just going to call you the Renaissance Man, joining us here on the All Access Football Sports Line. And folks, you will hear Connor's name called early in the draft in a few weeks. And Connor, I wish you nothing but the best of luck. You're a great kid, a hard worker. We all hear nothing but great things about you, and you're going to be a big asset to an NFL team. And I really appreciate the time here on the show this evening.
Yeah, no problem. It was good talking to you.
An NFL draft final exclusive.